Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beit. And we're holding right at the bottom of Ayin Alav Amud Beit. And the last thing we learned yesterday was Me'il Shnei Masar. Somehow or other, we got to the halacha that the Me'il, which is only made out of Tcheles, instead of saying what we thought we would say, which is six, because it's only Tcheles and everything has to be Sheish, and somehow or other, we came out with 12. How did we come out with 12? Minolan. Dichtiv. V'asita et me'il ha'efod. So what the Torah says about the me'il ha'efod is that it is kalil techelet. It's not just techelet. It's kalil techelet. Kalil is a lotion of gedil, Rashi says. And that's also the Targum. So that means that it was doubled. It means that the normal six would be doubled into 12. And we know that each one of the tcheles, we learn out tcheles from the parochet, even though it doesn't use the word bad there, but we learn it out of the parochet where it says tcheles, and over there we know that it means, as we just proved, that it has to be shisha, so afkan shisha. So then that means that the tcheles of the me'il was made out of the standard six thick thread, but then that thread had to be doubled over and twisted on itself to equal 12 thick. Well, but why don't we learn out, instead of learning it out from the parochet, shouldn't we learn it out from the rimonim? Let's learn it out from al shulei ha-me'il, the rimonim that we have. And we prove that the rimonim have to have 8 thick thread in order to be able to equal the same 24 of the mashzar that we learned out. So we should say that each thread of tcheles should be 8, and then we should double the 8, and we should make it 16, instead of saying we double the 6 to make it 12. That's because, I mean, we're not going to learn out the din of the actual me'il from the decorations, are we? I mean, rimonim are not a kli. Rimonim are a tachshit. So it makes more sense to learn a kli from a kli, even though before we called the parochet, we called it a binyan. But when it comes to the dinim of tuma and kalim, so we have the kli, which is the beged, or the kli, which is the curtain, that both have dinim of kalim. And we're not going to learn a kli from something that is only a decoration. Where a decoration, remember back from a seches kalim, decorations do not have a din of a kli. So that would be the reason that we're going to learn it from the parochet. Well, I mean, come on, I could say Adarabba. Doesn't it make more sense to be danin gufo mi gufo? I'd rather learn the dinim of the me'il from something that's part of the me'il, even if it's only a decoration to the me'il, instead of learning it from the parochet, which has nothing to do with the me'il. It's weird. Why would we learn a me'il from the parochet? Ah, you're right. I let you back me into the corner because I needed to explain to you. Remember back at the beginning, we had 5 yesterday. We had 5 different mentions of bad, and one of those mentions of shesh, and one of those mentions of shesh, what did we say it's for? For all those things where it doesn't say shesh, but where we need to know shesh. That's what we were talking about. The me'il. That's the only place that I needed that extra shesh for, and that's how I know that when it says kalil, it means 2 times 6 and not 2 times 8. Great. Moving on to the parochet. Okay, the parochet we know is 24. That's obvious because we had 4 different threads, and we know that each one of those was shita. That is a given. Lodina velodayana, please don't start talking to me on this. This words were inserted only for Moshe Forman. So don't argue about this thing. This is one thing you can rely on 100%. Lodina velodayana. It's amazing how the Gemara Mamish with Ruach HaKodesh saw all of the deres abayim. So anybody wants to come and argue with this one, shut up. Now, the choshen ve'efod is esrim mishmona. So how did we get to esrim mishmona? Minalan? Dichtiv. Yasita choshen mishpat ma'aseh choshev ke ma'aseh efod. There, it should be the same type of thing, but you need to include zahav. So you have zahav, techelet, argeman, tolat shani, v'shesh mash zah. So now we already know that we have tcheles, all of those things, tcheles, hagaman, tola, shani, v'sheish, are defined, as we learned yesterday, by the word sheish, and therefore they have to be 6 apiece. Shita gives us 24, plus, that's esrim v'arba, and then it says, make zahav. Zahav adds an additional 4, and that equals 28. Wait, how do you know the Zahav? I mean, why not say that Zahav is also 6? Because we're matching the Zahav to the other threads, right? How'd you get 4? Omrei Vacher bar Yaakov, because in the making of the Zahav, it says how to make it. So it says, V'kitzeitz betilim. So first it says, bang the gold into these thin foil. So make gold foil. And then v'kitzeitz petilim, cut it in the petilim. So if it would have said petil, that would have meant a thread. But it says petilim, so petil, petilim. And then it says 2. So we have now 4, because we're cutting the 2 into kitzeitz. So 2 cut into 2 is 4. Rav Ashi says, look, it's very simple. In the pasuk of how to actually make the kelim, it says about the choshen and the ephod, lasot, make the zahav. What do you make the zahav for? Lasot betoch hatchelet, ubetoch argaman, ubetoch tolat hashani, ubetoch hashesh. So what does that mean? It means that we're meant to insert one piece of gold thread into each one of the given threads. That's why it says v'kitzeitz petilim. It explains to us how to make it. Okay, so then that means that we can only make 4. Because if you're going to try to tell me that we're supposed to be making more gold, what would you suggest? Navid arba de tre. So you said make 6 of gold. Okay, how do we do that? We would put in 2 in each one, so then it would be 8, because it were 2 times 4, then we have the 4 different materials. Shall we make 2 of 2, which is 4, plus another 2 of 1 apiece? We can't do that because, as we said yesterday, the Asita tells us, you call us Yotav Shavot. All of the threads need to be the same. So therefore, there's got to be 4, 1 in each one of the materials. Another halacha that we know, Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda. You should know that if you tear any of the big day kahuna, you're going to be chayav malchus, because it says that around the pia me'il, kepi tachra lo yikareya, it cannot be torn. And that means do not tear. Matki for Rav Acher bar Yaakov, you say it means do not tear. Maybe all it's saying is that this thick hem around the opening, which we have around sweaters, exactly the same thing. That's a pitachra. And we double over the top, and we make it, because otherwise you'll tear it when you pull it over your head. And the me'il was pulled over your head. So maybe it just means make it like thick so that lo yikareya, so that it shall not tear. Where does it say do not tear? Lo yikareya means it shall not be torn. So then that would be saying why we're doing it. It would not be saying not to tear. It doesn't say shelo yikareya. What a funny way to say, make a hem so that it not be torn. Instead say, make a hem, it shall not be torn. So obviously that is a tzivui. Lo yikareya is an iser lav, it's one of the tariag mitzvahs. Another thing is that is like this, is Rebbe Elazar's din of amezia choshen me'ala ephod. If you end up taking the choshen off of the ephod, you loosen the chutei tcheles, or the chains, or if you take out the badim from the orein, then you're going to be over on a lav, loka, because these are two other lavim that have to do with the big day kuna. Lo yizach ha-choshen me'ala ephod, and lo yasuru mimenu. These are lavim. Do not remove the choshen from the ephod. Do not take out the badim from the orin. Says Rav Acher bar Yaakov, the same thing. Maybe it just says, d'yomachikom rachmana, make it tight. Whether you're making the knots or you're making the chains, make it properly so that it not be meziyah. And put in the badei aron in such a way that they shall not be removed, v'lo yasuru, which means make them very tight so that you can't get them out. No, it doesn't say shelo yaziyah. It doesn't say shelo yasuru. It says lo yizach, lo yasuru. That is an iser lav. So now we've discovered 3 new lavim here, all part of the tariag mitzvahs. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Chanina says, wait a second over here. I don't understand the pasuk about the badim. It says, "Betabat betabot Aaron yu abadim lo yasru mimenu." Right? That seems to be saying the same way that all of the other ones say, that it's supposed to be tight and not be able to be removed. But it says, on the other hand, "Vuhuva et badav betabot." That you should, this is a little bit of a problem, because that pasuk, as Tosfos points out, is not referring to the Orein. That's referring to the Mizbeach HaZov. And therefore, the correct pasuk might be the Heveta et Habadim Bataba'ot, which is the pasuk that is said about the Orein. There's an amazing, amazing approach by Tosfos, who speaks in a very warm, personal way. And he says, look, you know, I don't like the pshatim, I don't like changing the lashon of the of a pasuk. And every Gears of Gemara that I looked into brings the Vuvat Badav. And if I wouldn't be embarrassed from my friends and I would have the guts, you know what I would say? And he says the most amazing pshat, which really is, he brings riyas from Sukkim to his pshat. He says, I know everybody's going to say I'm crazy, so I really don't want to publish this, but this is what I hold. And he brings a riya from the Lashon of the Pasuk, that there were actually two completely different sets of Badim in the Orein. One of them were the Badim that were part of the Orein and were not there for carrying. They were there to show that the Orein is a movable kli and that it sticks out and it's like breasts and that nourishes you and so on. That is not even nice to carry the Orein around with its breasts. So there were two other Badim that were carrying Badim. And those badim could actually be put in, because it says vuvad badav. And that is mashma, that when they used to travel, they would put in badim. He said, okay, I didn't say it. It's very sweet, Tosfos. And it's like a totally new approach to the badim. Okay, anyway, but if we change the girsa, so then we don't have any of these problems, and it should say veheveta. Anyway, so look, I don't get it. On the one hand, you told me that the meaning is of this lo yizach or lo yasuru, they are meant to be there in a way that is tight so that they not be taken out, and you better not take it out. So in other words, it has both of those meanings. But then it says that you should put the badim in. Now, I mean, how can you put the badim in if they're supposed to be so tight that they can't be moved? The whole thing is very confusing, because vuhuva means it can actually slide. Answers the Gemara, you can be mekayim both things. Mitparkim ve'ein nishmatim. This is very common in modern design, where, as you know, you're frustrated the first time that you have to insert in your new headphones or in some kind of backpack or whatever. You've got to put something in, so you have to push very hard to get it through at the beginning, and then it slides back and forth, but it's hard to get out again, right? That's exactly what it means over here. The badim were made with a flun at the end so that they were slightly wider. To get them into the badim took a lot of pressure. Once they were in, then you're not going to be able to remove them without also putting on a lot of pressure to get them in and out. So this way we have both things. You put them in a way that makes sure that they don't fall out. So they move back and forth, they're mitparkim, but they will not come out on their own. Tanya Namiachi, bitabat, bitabot aaron, yiyu habadim. So when it says they should be there, you might think yiyu means, whoa, that means that's where they have to stay, in precisely that original place, and they cannot be moved. Yochalo yuzazim. Talmud lomar, no, vuva et badav bitabot, or veheveta et badav bitabot. So obviously they do move. But if it said only that they move, veveta, you might think that means they can just be taken in and out, like you would normally think about something that is meant to be a pole fit in a ring. So yoko yuniklasim veyotzim? No, because it says v'tabot aron yu abadim lo yasuru mimenu, which means they have to be put in a way that they cannot be removed. So I'd explain that. Or ketzad mitparkim ve'enishmatim, exactly as we said. Om Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. When we talk about the Mishkan, it says, Atzei Shitim Omdim. What do you mean Omdim? Standing. So one thing we learn is, Omdim Deragidei Latam. They have to be standing in the same direction that they grew from the earth. Not that the top of the tree will be the lumber that's pointing down. Davar Acher Omdim, they are the things that are Ma'amidim Et Sipuyam. They support the gold on the outside. So that means that the gold does not stand on its own. It is basically connected to the wood. Or another pshat that Rashi says is that they will never rot, and therefore the plates that are of gold will be well fastened all the time. Dover acher omdim means shema tomar avat sivram ubatel sikuyan. Now that there's no longer a mishkan, you would say, so it's all over. All of the hopes that we had are disappeared, and all of the sense of promise of ultimate future of making this mishkan is never to stand again. Talmud Torah, on the contrary, Talmud Lomar, Omdim means Shomdim Lo Omei Olamim, they stand forever. And that these things are going to be the Mokr of the Beis HaMikdash, and they'll be the Mokr of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, and that Mishkan will always survive, and in fact, it will be physically intact. Remember, according to Rabbi Meir, even the animals that were used to pull, the Agolites that pulled the Mishkan, are intact forever. V'yom Rabbi Chamer Bar Chanina, Mai Dichtiv et Bigdei Hasrad L'Sharet Bakodesh. Why do we refer to Bigdei Hasrad? And you remember that Rashi learns in Chumash that Bigdei Hasrad means the begonim that were used to cover over the kalim when they were packed into a nartik in order to carry them in the midbar. Tosfos says that Bigdei Hasrad refers to Bigdei Kahuna, and Tosfos brings a raya from this Gemara, because the Gemara clearly says it's Bigdei Kahuna. So the Bigdei Hasrad, why do we refer to Bigdei Kahuna Srad? Srad means survivors. So why survivors? That tells me that Ilmalei Bigdei Kahuna, if it wouldn't be for the Bigdei Kahuna, then there would be no survivors to Klal Yisrael. Lo nishtayer b'shoneim shel Yisrael yisarid v'palit. Then the enemies of the Jews, that's a euphemism, nothing would be left of them at all. That's the point. And therefore, we call them the surviving Srad. Beautiful. Oops. Sorry, I touched the wrong page here. Lonishtayer, not next. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Devei Rabbi Shimai. This means, in the Braita it explains, that it's Sarad because they're begadim shegardim otam kivriyatam mikileyem u'misardim mehem klum. These are begadim that are taken off of the loom in the correct shape, meaning that they are not actually woven flat and then sewn into the shape that we want. They are made into the shape of the beged on the loom. So it's a circular loom, which leaves you a place for your head and the covering of your body. But we leave a little bit over. What do we leave over, Mahi? Rish Lakish says that's the part that we need to sew on. That's like the sleeves. Meitve, Bigdei Kahuna, Eino Simota Maase Machat, Ela Maase Oreg. Doesn't it say over here that you do not use a needle? Shinema Maase Oreg, says Abaya. Yes, Rish Lakish is referring to, let's say, the sleeves. How do you attach the sleeves? I understand. The sleeves come off of the loom like a sleeve, and the body comes off of the loom like a fitting over your body, but you have to attach the two. That, obviously, is the Bigdei Sarad that we left over, Kitatanya. Beit Yad Shel Bigdei Akuna. So the sleeves, that came off the loom separately. Nereged Bifnei Atzma. And then we attach it by a needlework through to the beged. That's the Maase Machat. And it comes all the way to the Kohen's hand. Arpisatayat. Omer Chav Omer of Yehuda. When it comes to the Orein. So it says over there, you're supposed to make an Orein. And then it says that Orein is made out of eight, Atzei Shittim, Amatayim v'chetzi orko, which means nine tvachim, remember? Six plus an additional half of six. That's nine. Amav v'chetzi komato, and v'tzipito to cover it with pure gold, inside and outside. And then make a zerzav saviv. How exactly was it covered with gold? So, Rechava points out, Bezalel made three separate boxes. The middle box is the box of wood that the Torah is referring to. It's just a simple box that was nine tvachim high as measured from the outside. The inside box was made out of gold, and it was eight tvachim high because it fit in over the tefach high of the wood of the middle box. And it came up to the top of the middle box from the inside. covering the entire inside with gold. And the outside box was 10 tvachim high, plus a little bit more. Wait a minute, doesn't it say in the Braita that it was 11 tvachim high plus a little bit more? Well, that is dependent on another machlokes, lokasha. How thick was the gold on the box? That's the question. If the thickness of the gold on the outside box was also a tefach, so then that would mean that you would need to allow for an additional tefach, and then it would come up all the way up. So the commander Amar Yesh Bi Avyo Tefach, that's the Braita. And what Rav Yehuda was saying is, no, there was just like a thin covering of gold in the outside box, and that was not a tefach, so you didn't need to allow for another tefach on the outside, and therefore you ended up with having only 10, because the 10th one came up to cover over the additional tefach of the kaporet when it was put on the arayin. So the kaporet would be put on top of the wooden box, and then around the edges to cover over the place where the space would be where it was put on top. It looked from the outside as if it was a solid piece that came all the way up to the top of the kaporet. We'll see that it actually covered more than the top of the kaporet. But then according to the Braita, if the extra tefach was to add to the bottom piece, what is the mashahu? Because, I mean, I understand that when we're talking about, I mean, if I have 11 tvachim, so I've got the inside box of 9 tvachim, the additional tefach, and I also have the kaporet, and what in the world is that extra little piece for? No, that's the zer. The zer goes up a little bit higher because it says, Vasitam lo zer zahav saviv. So you needed to have like a crown that was a remez to the keter of the Torah, and that went up above. Masha Einkein, Rabbi Yehuda, he was talking about the mashu that was the mashu of the thickness. He wasn't talking about the zer. It's not that he disagrees that there was a zer. He was talking about the actual way in which the boxes interrelate to each other. So his mashu was to cover the thickness of that thin base. That was a mashu. But the Braita doesn't hold there was a mashu on the base. There was a tefach on the base. So according to the Braita, the extra mashu was to be taller than the kaporet. And to be taller than the kaporet, what for? So that it should be a crown around the kaporet. And in fact, as Rabbi Yochanan said, there were really shlosha zeirin. There are three crowns. There's the asita lo zer zahav on the mizbeach, also the mizbeach azov, on the orein habris, and al mizgarto of the shulchan zer zahav also. What were they for? The Mizbeach, that's the remez to the Aveda of the Kohuna, and that crown Aharon HaKohen was Zocha, and he took it. The Shulchan is a remez to Shulchan Melachim, which is the riches and the grandeur of the Malchus. That crown, David HaMelech was Zocha, and he was Netalo. But what about the crown around the Oren HaBris of the Terah? That's the Keter Kohun, that's Keter of Terah. Kol HaReitze Likach Yovo V'Yikach. That is there for anyone who learns Terah gets that crown. So you'll say, so it's just sort of generic. It's not even important. Anybody gets it. Shema Tomar, that's less than the crown of Malchus. Talmud Omar, Bim Elachim Yimlochu. Who is the one that appoints the kings? Through me, that is through the Torah. That's the Torah that's speaking there. So through me, our Malachim, remember, that's this week's Rabbeinu Bachya, that Shlomo HaMelech talks as the mouth, the Chochmah of Torah. So be Malachim Yimlochu is the Torah speaking. I'm the one who chooses the kings, and the one who makes the kings is obviously more important than the king himself. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, it's a contradiction. It's written Zar. Zar means alien, but we read it as if it says Zer with a Yud. That depends how you relate to the Torah. If you're Zocha, so then Naseit lo Zer. But if you're not Zocha, then it's like an alien. You'll forget everything that you learned. You won't have any Shaychus to the Torah. So if you learned Lishma without all kinds of other Cheshbeinus, then it's a crown. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, It says, Asita lecha Aron Eitz, but it says, Ve'asu Aron Atzei Shittim. So is it you or is it the people? Wasn't it said to Moshe that you have to make it? Mikan Tamid Chacham Shebnei Yiro Mitzuvim La'asot Lo Melachto. So here we see that all of the people in the Machane were going to do the work for Moshe. So it was his job. So from here you learn that a Talmud Chacham has things to do. Everybody's mechuyev to do it. Mibayet u'michutz titzapenu, cover that aron inside and out with gold. That teaches us, says Rava, that a Talmud Chacham, who is essentially the holder of the Torah, he has to be gold inside and out. And if he's a phony, an ein tocho kivaro, and he pretends to be keeping the Torah, he pretends to have yirah shamayim, that's not called a Talmud Chacham. He's got to be mibayet u'mibachutz. Says Abaye Vitema Rabba Bar Ula, somebody who takes the Torah and has no intention of keeping the Torah and he goes around learning Torah, he is called nauseating, nit'av. Shenemar afki nit'av v'ne'alach, ish shoteh hamayim avla, the man who drinks the water of Torah. But he himself is actually, he carries around also avla, iniquity. Om Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Om Rabbi Yonatan, why is it that we allow these fools to go and be Isaac in Torah when they have no heart and they don't know what they're doing? It shouldn't even be allowed. Also, this is obviously means the type of Talmidei Chachamim that are Isaac in Torah and have no interest in Yirat Shamayim. Machris Rabbiana used to say, Chaval al delet le darta vatir le darta yavi. The guy doesn't even own a chatzar, but he makes this gorgeous gateway to a chatzar that goes nowhere. So, I mean, the Torah is a gorgeous gateway, but the only place that it takes you is into Yirat Shamayim. Why are you making such a beautiful gate when it doesn't lead anywhere? And Rava used to tell his Talmidim, guys, I beg you, don't go to hell twice. If you have no intention of really being Mekayim the Torah, so anyway you're going to burn in hell. So then you're going to waste your whole life. You're not going to have any fun. You're going to be sitting there learning in yeshiva. For God's sake, go on and have fun. Why should this world also be hell? And then you get twice hell. Don't waste your time. So, alo tirtun tarti gehenim. Beautiful. So don't be yorish gehenim twice. Omri b'yosher ben Levi, my dichtiv, v'zot atorah asher sam Moshe, Sam has a double meaning, because sam can mean actually poison, or it can mean some kind of magic elixir. So, enochinami, that's the remez. Torah itself, until now, we've been learning that the Torah, not that the Torah itself can destroy the person and be dangerous for him, but that it's chaval for him to be Isaac in a way that is not going to bring him the benefits of Torah. But now we're taking it a step further. And it's not merely that he doesn't have a shame of a Talmud Chacham if he's not Torah Kvara and so on, but worse than that, that when Moshe Rabbeinu presented the Torah, he presented the Torah as the same way that the Eitz HaChaim, the same way that the Eitz HaChaim in Gan Eden is protected by a Lahat HaCherev HaMitapechet. So that means that it's a double-edged sword. That's the way that we use that idea, even in English, as an idiom. A double-edged sword also means that it can have impact in both directions. It can hurt you, and it can help you. And the same thing is true over here. The Torah was a sam. So if the person is zeicha to be learning the Torah properly and using it properly, so then it becomes a sam of life, and it gives him, in fact, everything of the zeicha Torah. But lo zecha naaseit lo sam misa. It becomes poisonous. Vahinu diomar Rava, that's exactly what Rava pointed out, that the Torah itself, the umanba, samadachayin, but the lo umanba, samadamuta. So if you are a oman, so that means you know how to use things properly, you're a professional, so to speak. So in other words, you're fully skilled in the use of learning, so then it's going to be like a drug, like a sam, an elixir. That is going to bring you life, but it's like anything else. You try to play doctor on medications that you know nothing about, and it's going to kill you. And therefore, it may be the same Torah, but used non-professionally, it's your end. And the Loma Mama Sumat Demuta, unfortunately, we see all too much of that. Om Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Rabbi Yonatan Rami. Rabbi Yonatan points out a contradiction in the Pesukim. On the one hand, it says, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchei Lev. That sure sounds like they're, you know, loads of fun and they're going to make you happy. But on the other hand, it says, Imrat Hashem Tzirufa. Tzirufa means that they actually burn you through like a furnace. It's a smelter. Well, that means the same thing. The Lashon of Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamcho is true if you're zoicha to use it properly and to have your ashamayim and to learn in order to be mekayim the mitzvahs, then it's misamcho. But lo zacha, a person who is not zoicha to apply it properly, tzorafto, it's going to burn you up. Resh Lakish amar migufe dekra nafka. Actually, you don't need a stira in the psukim the way that you brought it between misamchele versus trufa. Because trufa itself has a double meaning. When you go through a tziruf in life, a birur in life, you could come out on the other side cleaner and more precise. So then it means like it takes out and is mitzaref the best. Like you have the best of gold comes out of the smelter furnace. But that's only if you're zacha. And therefore, migufi dekra nafka, zacha tzorafto, but it's tzorafto lechayim. But lo zacha, you're in the part that gets burned all up in the smelting furnace. And therefore, it's tzorafta lemita. Yirat Hashem tohora omedet la'ad. What is the difference between Yirat Hashem stam and Yirat Hashem, which is Torah? Richie, you're not going to share with us, Richie? So this stands forever. We understand that to be related to the way in which the Torah itself can be applied. So that means, what is this referring to? Lomed Torah b'tahara. So somebody who's learning Torah and he's able to keep his thoughts clean and clear. So what is that referring to? That first, nosei isha. First he gets married in order to be able to have an outlet for the kind of thoughts that might not be Torah-oriented. And then he learns. V'achar kach lomed Torah. Edut Hashem ne'emana. What is Ne'eman about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eidos in the Torah, and we're understanding that all of these psukim are a definition of Teres Hashem Tamima. So the Teres Hashem Tamima B'Shivas Nafesh implies that the Eidos of Hashem is an Eidos of Hashem that comes from the Torah, in the same way that it implied that the Yiras Hashem Tahira Medes La'ad is a modality of Teres Hashem Tamima. So what is the meaning of the Eidos Hashem Ne'emana that's part of the Limud HaTorah? Om Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, the Torah is ne'emanahi la'id belamdeha, so that the Torah itself will be made on the person. This person was b'kayim the mitzvahs that are written in me. Om Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, ne'emanahi la'id belamdeha. Getting back to the original topic here, and of course the original topic was the Big Day Kahuna. We got into this whole idea about the Umalei Big Day Kahuna. We wouldn't be able to be made and so on. But now we're getting back to how exactly were the Big Day Kahuna made. So originally, we started off by discussing the materials and by discussing the spinning of the various threads and then the number of threads that were braided into one. Getting back to the Psukim, we know that sometimes the Torah speaks about a Ma'aseh Rokim. So let's say when it talks about the Masach lepetach. So there it says, Techelet Argaman, Tolat Shani, Sheish Mashzar, and it adds Maaseh Rokim. But at other times, it says the Maaseh, not Rokim, but Maaseh Choshev. So when it is talking about the Yiriot of the Mishkan, it said, Veta Mishkan Taseh Es Yiriot, the same material. Sheish Mashzar, Techelet Argaman, Tolat Shani. But over there it says Maaseh Choshev. What is the difference between Maaseh Rokim and Maaseh Choshev? So Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's not that. It's that it's just telling you part of the process. That first, you're Choshev, meaning that you plan out the design, you put the design on the material with colored pens, and then you actually paint by the numbers, so to speak. In other words, you do the rikma, which we very, very often find today, that first you buy something that has the design on it, and then when you're going to be doing the needlework, you work out the needlework in the colors of the threads along the same paintings that are there on the actual design that you purchased. And that's what we're talking about over here. So it's not two different things. So first you're choshev, meaning you plan out the design, and then you're rokim. Whereas Tana Mishmeda Rebbe Nechemya, rokim is actually needlework. So that would be Maaseh Machat. Maaseh Machat is always going... Now, the Rambam learns that this does not mean literally Maaseh Machat, because he understands that Maaseh Machat is just the way in which it would look at the end. But all of the designs were done by weaving. Okay, but Rashi understands it means literally Maaseh Machat. So it means that you did this needlework, the way that we had just explained it. But that would mean that you've got the same work on the front of the materials you have on the back, because obviously you can't change as you're putting the needle through. So rokem is a maasen machat, and therefore it always has one image. So it's the same image. The inverse of that image is on the back of the material. But where it says maaseh choshev, that is talking about ariga, and that's talking about a weaver. And of course, a weaver can have multiple layers of the woven material. And over there, you can have two completely different patterns, one in the front and one in the back. So that would mean lefichach shnei partzufot, you could have one thing on one side and one thing on the other side. Anyway, let us get back to what was done in the Mishnah, with the Shmoneh Begadim. So it says there that the Kohen Gadol would not only do his Aveda in the Shmoneh Begadim, but he would be actually Nish'alim B'Urim V'Tumim. So if you were coming to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim, it would require all Shmoneh Begadim as part of what it is that the Kohen Gadol asks. Now, Ki Aser Avdimi Omar, you should know that these Begadim, Shmona Begadim, that the Kohen Gadol is Meshamesh Behem, are worn also by the Meshuach Milchama. So when he is doing, if he chooses, now this is what we think that it means. In reality, we're going to see that these two dinim follow very clearly one after the other. Because the real din, we're going to suggest at the end, is that a Meshuach Milchama is also, because of his unique job, has to be available for sometimes an emergency question that's being raised to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the tactics in the war. So because of that, we are going to ask the Meshuach Milchama to get us the answer from the Urim V'Tumim. But when that is done, he needs to wear Shmoneh Begadim. That's where we're going to come out at the end. And if that's the case, then as you could see, we just discussed the Mishnah that said that the Kohen Gadol needs to wear Shmoneh Begadim when he's being asked for the Urim V'Tumim. So this continuation of Rav Dimi actually was relating to that. But initially, we take it to mean, we'll see, I mean, it's really a machlok is what it means. We take it to mean that if the Meshuach Muhammad wants to do Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, so he has to wear the same Shmoneh Begadim that a Kohen Gadol wears. Shenemar uvigdei HaKodesh asher la'aharon, Yehiyu levanav acharav. What's the meaning of vanav acharav? Those that come in order of importance, acharav. So we have the Kohen Gadol, and the next in chashivas is the Kohen who is also Meshuach, because we use the Shemana Mishka, and there the Chiddush is that these same begadim should be used by the Kohen who is second in level of chashivas to the Kohen Gadol himself. L'mi sheba Bigdula acharav. Masi vervada bar ava v'amri lakidi. Yochul yei b'no shal mashuach milchama meshamesh tachtav. This seems to be a tangential issue, but we'll see that it's directly related to the question of whether he wears Shmoneh Begadim. So you might think that a mashuach milchama who dies, we automatically will choose his son to fill his position, which is normally the din if Aaron dies. So we choose a son. If a Kohen Gadol dies, we choose a son. As long as we can find one that is ro'i to be mamale et yadav of the fathers. Mamale es mokom avi. So you might think that that is true of a Meshuach Bechama as well. Kiderach Shebno Shel Kohen Gadol Mishamish Tachtav. In the same way that when a Kohen Gadol dies, we appoint a son. If we have one of the correct Madrega, we will give him the job. Talmud Lomar, therefore, comes along the Torah to say, no, Shivat Yamim. Look at how carefully the Pasuk says it. Shivat Yamim Yubashem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav Asher Yavo El Ohel Moed L'Sharet Pakodesh. Ooh. So now we are relating the beginning of the Masechet, of the idea of the Shivas Yomim, of the Miluim. We're relating it over here to the last daf. This is basically the last daf of the Masechet that we'll be dealing with, the Aveda of the Kohen Gadol. The next parak, the closing parak, deals with the mitzvahs of Yom Kippur about not eating and the inuyim and so on and so forth. But this is the last words that we're going to have about the elements of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. So we started off with the Shivas Yomim that had to do with the miluim. And those Shivas Yomim related to the Shivas Yomim that came before Yom HaKippurim. And there is the very place where the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol's child takes his place. And what does it say over there? It says, HaKohen tachtam mibanav asher yavo el ohel moed. So it's Dafka, the one who is going to come el ohel moed l'sharet b'kodesh. Therefore, we learn from here that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, who cannot come into the ohel moed with the Shmoneh Begadim, I thought you said he can. Didn't you just say that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama wears the same Shmoneh Begadim? And what it says over there on Yom Kippur is, V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimashach Oto, or Asher Yimalei Et Yado. What does Yimalei Et Yado always mean? Yimalei Et Yado is always with the Bigdei Kohuna, because it says, V'bigdei HaKodesh Asher La'aron Yulevanav Acharav Lumalei Et Yadam. So that would mean that he is right to come into the Ohel Moed. So why do you say that he can be Oved in Shmoneh Begadim? Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, now you're misreading the Pasuk. The Pasuk means that when it says, Yobashem HaKohen Asher Yavo El Ohel Moed, it doesn't mean Misha Ra'ui Lavo. It means Misha Iker Meshichato Lo Ohel Moed. The whole point of giving this person the chashivas of the Kohen Gadol is that he should be able to be the one who's mechaper on Klal Yisrael on Yom HaKippurim by coming into the Ohel Moed and into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Mashenken, the Mashuach Mechama, Iker Meshichato LeMilchama. The whole point of a Mashuach Mechama is that he is supposed to be Mashuach for the purposes of speaking to the Am in Milchama.